Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I am excited to have a friend, a mentor, and somebody who is just an extraordinary human being on the show, Julia Dederer. Julia is a Silicon Valley executive coach and workshop leader in personal development with more than 35 years of experience. For 30 years, she has worked with some of the foremost transformational education companies in the United States. She holds a bachelor's degree from the University of California, Berkeley, and was a faculty member with the Global Women's Leadership Network out of Santa Clara University. Julia is a passionate advocate for robust living from cradle to grave. She is presently writing a book, It's an Open Road, Inventing Your Next 30 Years, and delivering workshops by that same name. We're very excited to have Julia with us today. Thank you so much, Julia, for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.
I love this topic. I remember when you and I first started discussing it about a year or so ago. It's such a brilliant concept, especially given where we're at today in society. We're living to be older than ever before, sometimes past 100 years old. And so why stop living at 65? So tell our listeners, how did you come up with this concept?
It was from my own personal journey. But first of all, Jennifer, I want to tell you how honored I am to be invited to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, and I was getting a little bit of feedback. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you perfectly. So as long as I think as you can hear me, we're good to go.
Okay, great. But I wanted to say something about you. You know, that we met a couple of years ago. I've seen you speak in front of groups. And I just want you to know how much I admire your passion and your openness. And then getting to know you a little bit personally, you're an extraordinary listener. And you always bring positive energy to every conversation. And as I was getting ready to do this interview, it's clear to me why you are at the top of your industry. With who you are. So it's just a real honor to be here today.
Thank you, Julia. I really got that. I mean, again, ditto. I feel it right back at you. I feel like our synergy from the minute you and I met, I said, this is a woman who I want to be friends with, I want to have in my life, because every conversation you and I have had, whether it was a 30-second conversation or an hour-long conversation, always left me empowered and excited to discover new things about myself and the world. And that's why I just think I love being able to share you. As selfishly, I just wanted to share you with all of my listeners because I think you're so extraordinary as well. So thank you for that wonderful, kind words of yours. That's, you know, I'm speechless, which doesn't happen a lot, as my listeners know. So thank you so much for that. And tell our listeners, though, I mean, your bio doesn't even do you any justice. My God, you've been a transformational teacher for over 35 years. How did you wind up on this extraordinary path?
Well, you know, for 28 years, I led workshops for that international corporation that's known as really a leader in transformational education. And during that time, I worked with thousands of people, helping them manifest their deepest intentions. And for the past several years, I've really worked coaching successful professionals, many of whom have been asking a question, now what? Many are not satisfied with the prize that seems to come in our culture when you've been successful, which says you get to stop. Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to stop? I thought life was meant to be lived.
Yeah, what kind of prize is that? I get to stop? Wait a minute. And it's kind of like it's sort of ingrained in our culture. And so during that time, I've worked with, as a one-on-one coach with hundreds of people to design their next chapter. So I got into, when I was 52, I got an illness which took several years to figure out by the doctors, and then it took several more years to resolve. But it did get resolved. But I had to leave my big corporate job, leading workshops, et cetera, to handle that. But then after 5 years, it was like, now what? And I found that I was, all that was out there was, I'm getting a little older. Okay, you should slow down. Things like that were out there, and it wasn't at all, it wasn't at all satisfying. And then I began researching this and began getting into this and really realized, I came up with three things that I've discovered, we've discovered, that the next 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever years can be the most robust, fulfilling, and vibrant of your life. And we're living in the most exciting times with the recent longevity statistics and recent brain science research that says the brain continues to create new connections throughout life, And what I've seen is that the genius and the deep wisdom to generate this whole new world for vital, productive years, the genius and deep wisdom is among us. Hmm. We get to generate it. And, you and I on this interview, the people listening in, this is something we're going to do together. And the really good news is it isn't downhill from here.
That is great news for a lot of people out there, because even my own mother is dealing with that right now. She's in her early 60s and figuring out what's next. She and my dad do a lot of traveling, and yet my sister has a son who's young, who my mom would love to spend more time with. Yet it's this catch-22, because she gets so much fulfillment and joy out of her career as a nurse. How do you choose? How do you choose when to retire, and what does retiring even mean? What does that word mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. What does the word retirement mean? So there's three things that we've discovered. Along the way, this wonderful woman, Sharon Spaulding, has come on board, and she and I are co-authoring our book, Opening the Open Road, Inventing Your Next 30 Years. And in our research over the last couple of years, we've discovered that three things are kind of like the most important thing. And that is, first of all, getting the reality of that the statistics show and the brain research shows that we can have this robust, fulfilling, vibrant rest of our lives, and that what stops that is unexamined myths, assumptions, beliefs, stereotypes. And then the third thing to start opening up our futures is simply beginning to become aware of those beliefs, myths, and assumptions. That opens up the open road right there.
I think you're absolutely right. It was funny, last week we had on the show Gary Douglas, and we were talking about consciousness. And I think what you're saying, if I'm hearing you, is that in order to begin to debunk these myths and these truths that we hold as the truth, we have to first begin by bringing consciousness and awareness to what it is we believe to be true. And then in that moment, choice becomes available for something else, correct?
Yeah, exactly. We start to listen to what, I began starting to listen to what the things were that I was saying in my own head, and to what the friends around me were saying to each other, what we were saying to each other. I just was at a friend's house the other day, and she said that she'd been at her sister's house the day before, and she made breakfast, my friend, and her sister said to her a little later, I don't mean to disparage you, but you left the burner on. And this friend of mine said, yeah, I'm getting old. And then she looked at me. She kind of laughed because she knows the conversation that I'm committed to. And she said, oh, right. No, that doesn't have to be that I forgot to turn off the burner because I'm getting old. I am involved in so many new projects. Get this. She's in her 60s. She's starting a cooking school.
Wow.
Oh, whoa, she is in the middle of a lot of things. But these things drop out of our mouths without our even realizing it.
You're so right. And I notice it happens all the time. It doesn't matter if you're 25 or 65 or 85. The minute we start speaking as though it's done, our future has been decided, and because we're a certain age, whether it's 25 or 85, that life begins to happen to us rather than us being the creators of it, that's where we begin to stop living. It has zero to do with age. It has to do with the consciousness that you're bringing to your thoughts, to your words, and to your actions.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that, the baby boomers, all of us, and the people coming after us, we're an aging society. How we view the world, though, is mostly based on assumptions and ideas that were relevant 50-plus years ago. Social Security was put in place in 1935 when the age of life expectancy for men was 58.
Wow, that's amazing.
And women, 62.
Yeah, and things have changed so dramatically since then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, but we're living in the mindset that was actually more accurate for them. People did, die very early, so it was downhill. But we're not living in that era, but the mindset still exists for us in conversations like you and I are having, Jennifer, to open that up and distinguish some of those myths, like it's all down here, downhill from here. When you get bolder, people become invisible. You know the whole thing about senior moments, the one I just talked about,
yeah,
right?
You start to label. I think you start to label yourself, you start to label others, and I think that the more that you relate to yourself as that label, the more true it becomes. And I look at my Aunt Charlotte, she's in her 90s, still plays tennis every day in perfect health, and I was actually talking to somebody about our upcoming show this weekend, and she said her mom is over 100, still drives every day, still goes out, still has a very active life. And for everybody, it might look different. For some people, it might be traveling. Maybe that's what you're inventing. Or maybe, like your friend who's opening a cooking class, maybe that's what you're up to. But I think having something to be up to is what we're talking about that gives you your being in the present, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, one of the things that I realized that why I started this whole thing was I realized I couldn't do it alone.
Hmm.
You know, the societal myths are pernicious.
Good word.
And they're pervasive. And, you know, I can create what I want to do next and things like that, but those things creep in, you know, kind of like, well, I don't drive as much at night, you know, so no, thank you. I'm not going to, you know, go out tonight. You know, I don't party much anymore. And, you know, I saw myself starting to, you know, and I'd just gotten over this illness, but I was starting to diminish my being active in my own life. And I started thinking, senior moments, who made this up? I didn't make that up.
What a great concept. Whoever thought to perpetuate that damn idea, let's go out back and thank them for putting that forth in all of our consciousness. Here we are 30, 70, however many years later.
And there's so many of them, but we can do this together. You know, we can, just by starting to, like I did with my friend, notice them when they come up. And the other thing that's beautiful, Jen, is what you said about your grandmother? And your aunt?
Oh, my aunt Charlotte, yeah.
Wow. I mean, there are, you know, you know how the thing, they say that when you buy a red car, you go out in the street and
you see
red
everywhere.
Cars everywhere?
Yep.
Since I've gotten into this conversation, it's amazing the number of role models that I've started to see. I went to dinner the other night, and there was this gorgeous woman. By the way, just FYI, I'm 69. I just turned 69 last week.
Happy birthday. Yes, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, thank you. But there was this gorgeous woman, I don't know, mid-60s, buff, sleeveless shirt, gray hair, down below her shoulders. I wanted to go over and thank her for her willingness to be all she could be out here in public, and what a role model she was being for me, just being who she was, having dinner with her husband.
That's incredible. And it's just noticing that, like you said, it's noticing the red cars. And I think our perspective really gives us, it gives us our listening, it gives us our speaking, it gives us our thoughts. And if we're looking around and our perspective is, once you get over XYZ age, whatever that hypothetical is, whether it's 50, 60, 70, whatever it is to you, that you start to quote unquote go downhill, if that's what you're looking for, you're going to be scanning for evidence of that in all areas of your life, where the opposite is true of what you're talking about, where if you're saying that, wow, at 69, I'm even more vibrant than I was at 65 or 59. And I have all this power to create that I didn't even know I had that power when I was those other ages. And if you come from that perspective, it opens your eyes to different things that you didn't see were possible.
Yeah. What's this? I have stopped giving people those over-the-hill birthday cards. Terrible?
They are. They are awful. I know. I think we gave my dad one for his 40th birthday. I remember it vividly, the whole party. And this was back when 40 was over the hill and he had black balloons and over the hill everything.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they're just, it's amazing when you start talking. What we do need to do is challenge ourselves to see these things that are just ridiculous. Like, why can't, you know, this is a great one. A friend, actually my co-author, a friend of hers sang at her 70th birthday party two songs that she, listen to this, she learned those songs 20 years earlier.
That's incredible.
She meant to sing them at her daughter's wedding, but she chickened out.
Oh, no.
So when she was asked at her 70th birthday party what advice she had for friends and all the people at the party, she said, grow a pair. What are you waiting for?
You know, I think that's so true, is as we get older in life, you know, whatever older looks like to you, is I think so many people, we regret the things, what's that old quote? We regret the things that we didn't do, not so much the things that we did. And it's so true, is we always come up with these excuses why not to go after that dream job, why not to take that dream trip or whatever it is. And we're always waiting for someday, maybe later, when the timing is just right, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, that it just might be the perfect time, right, to sing that song.
Oh my goodness, that's one I have to write down. Someday, one day.
Yeah.
Someday, one day, I'll do that thing. But then we're left with regrets. But here's the other awesome news, Jen. Think about it. Here's why I called it the open road. If I look at that I'm 69, you know, the statistics are that I could have a vibrant, robust 20 years, right?
Right.
Or 30 years, even, and beyond. But, you know, I could get run over by a truck. I could get cancer. We all know that. I mean, but I could have gotten run over by a truck when I was 40.
Yes.
And I could have gotten cancer, you know? So, but here's the point. If you look, think about the time between when you were 20 and when you were 40, those 20 years. That's a long amount of time. You know, I could get a PhD. I could start a whole new career. I could, you know, start a family. They're not going to come from my womb.
You could, though. Look at Clint Eastwood. I think he had kids in his 70s, didn't he?
Who?
Clint Eastwood, I'm pretty sure. I think he had kids or had a kid recently.
Well, he had a younger wife, you know. But I don't think that's going to work for me.
You never know. With modern technology, whole other conversation about jobs out there for people inventing babies.
But, you know, a really good example of that is I was talking to another friend who's 47 years old, and she had heard that I'd done my first workshop here in Silicon Valley a couple of weeks ago, and she was really saying that she'd heard great things about it. And then she said to me something that really surprised me. Said, "I don't think I want to live much into my 80s." And I said, "What?" And she says, "Well, you know, my husband's older than me, and you know, several of my friends are older than me, and so I'm just thinking I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be lonely in my 80s." Aww. And I thought to myself, and I said to her, I said, "Wait a minute. Okay, let's talk about something." And this is the thing about challenging yourself and your friends in a loving way, of course.
Not in a nagging way.
Not nagging, not righteous or anything. I said to her, "Now, listen. What you've built in terms of your career, your family, if." In the last 20 years or the last 30 years, hasn't it been amazing? And she said, "Oh, yeah, of course." And then I said, "Now, look, you from 47 to 77, how long is that?" She said, 30 years. I said, "Do you have the capacity to build a fulfilling community and group of friends and loving relationships? Do you think you can do that in 30 years?" And she just burst out laughing. It's like we have a long time out in front of us, unless we don't. But there's always been the unless we don't, right?
It's just whether you're 2 years old or 102 years old, we never know when our last day could be. But more just from a consciousness perspective, I think what you and I are talking about is, you mentioned this great concept when we were talking about the show about having this expiration date. It's almost like what your friend is saying, "Oh, I expire at 65. That's it. Then after that, I only have X, Y, and Z available, and my friends are going to start to die, and people around me are going to start to die, and it's all going to be doom and gloom, and I'm just going to put my umbrella up and get ready for the rain clouds to come, because that's how life's going to go." And it's disempowering, and it's sad, quite frankly, that we choose to walk around with that umbrella like that character from Charlie Brown, just waiting for the universe or whatever you happen to believe in to rain bad luck or old age down on us, and then we waste off into oblivion.
Exactly.
One of the other things, too, that I know we talked about, Julia, that I want to make sure to touch on is the sense that a lot of people have, and especially even the younger up-and-coming generation, but I see it going into the future is going to have a huge impact in possibly an adverse way, is this idea of shame, of not achieving everything that you want to achieve. And I think for your generation, it may have been 65, but what's interesting is for the millennials coming up, they actually have their expiration date is 30. If they haven't achieved what they set out to because of YouTube and Insta and Snapchat and all these quick ways to become famous and make a lot of money quickly, whether you're 30 or 65, there's this sense that a lot of people have of shame and dis-ease around themselves and embarrassment if they don't have or haven't reached the same pinnacles in their careers as their friends. How do you overcome that?
That is so beautiful. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that shame is there for, you know, the 69-year-olds like me, the 20, 30-year-olds. The background of shame is something that it's important to bring to the light, because once you bring it to the light, it can melt away where it belongs, which is everything, nothing. It doesn't mean a thing. You know, we are all growing and developing. You know, there's always a whole new world available for each of us to manifest as yet unfulfilled destinies. You know, we each have our unique gifts to continue to develop and contribute at all ages of life. And, you know, as I've begun to talk about this topic, 30-year-olds have come to me and said exactly what you said. Thank you so much for starting this topic. We thought, you know, this one gal said just what you said. You know, I've just been feeling ashamed that I wasn't a millionaire by the time I was 30 and thought my time was over. But when you're talking about it's an open road, inventing your next 30 years, I see that I can, you know, I've got all kinds of time in front of me to work, to start new things, to develop things. There isn't, as you said, I love that term, an expiration date.
Right. And yet we live as though there is one. So how do you, you know, it's one thing to talk in hypotheticals and say, great, Julia and Jen are having this awesome existential conversation about how to invent the next 30 years. But I know for some of my listeners out there, perhaps, and different people that you and I are going to come in contact with, they might say, that's a great concept, but how the heck do you go about inventing something from nothing?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm harping on, that what I've really discovered is that the awareness, sharing about it, you know, noticing my stereotypes, and that's why I'm talking on this show, that's why I'm doing workshops, because when people take the workshop, they get steeped in it at another level and begin going out and noticing where it is in their life and sharing it with their friends. This is really a revolution for for all of us, and how we create a new reality is by together having conversations one after another. That's the thing, is you build something through a process of one conversation after another. So you and I are having this conversation, and if it, the people that it touches on this call, they go out and have the conversation with others, and you know, that's how we do it, one conversation at a time.
Yeah, it all starts in our speaking. We don't realize how often that something we might say in passing and not think twice about could have long-term ramifications for ourselves and for anybody who is listening to that conversation. I can think of three instances off the top of my head where somebody once said something that I still to this day hold in my mind as it's true, even though it was a casual conversation that person probably doesn't even realize I'm still holding in my consciousness to this day. Whether that's good or bad is irrelevant. It's just an example.
Yeah, that's an example. So, you know, I must admit, I started this conversation for truly selfish purposes. I'm not kidding you. You know, when I get off this phone, I will have a different life because of having spent a half an hour or so in this wonderful, energetic, life-giving conversation. You know, so I've been looking for opportunities to have this conversation over the past 2 years. And I have a different life because people have begun to come to me and give me examples. And, you know, I have the benefit of that. I never would have started this. I'm 69 years old. Julia, relax. You don't have to start this whole new movement.
Yeah. Why not just go sit on a beach and, you know, sip your Mai Tai until the end of whatever your life is? But I think you and I talked about this, too. They've done studies that say within 2 years, I think you were the one who told me this, that if you don't get up to something within 2 years, hypothetically, of retiring, that you told me something about it, there's a negative consequence, and that you're more likely, I think, to even pass away, perhaps. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that was what we were discussing.
Well, I'll give you what it says. I mean, the medical the statistics are, if you don't get up to something within about 2 years of retirement, you will start to have to deal with medical issues.
That's
more,
right.
You know, and it will be a downhill slide. Now, I want to be sure that people shouldn't scare themselves in getting up to
very
something.
True.
That is not what this is about. But, you know, but we are all, the deeper truth about who we are is we have unique gifts to continue to develop and contribute to life all the way till the time we die. And these gifts that are unique to each of us, you know, your gifts are different than mine. My gifts are to be developed, and these gifts know no time or age.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think it's so important that it's not like you have to get up and do something or else. That's more of an ultimatum, and that's not what we're talking about. I think what we are saying is that we have a space. And in that space, you have the capacity to create whatever you want. And like you just said, we have these amazing, extraordinary gifts that as human beings, we have an opportunity to share in a multitude of ways. And for some people, being up to something might be going on trips around the world with their friends or helping raise their grandkids. Or it might be, you know, working on a passion project. I think what's important is to make sure that you're creating space for things that bring you joy and satisfaction, because I think that's where the deterioration, the health thing you mentioned, happens, is if you don't have something in your space that you're passionate about or that inspires you, and this is true for 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds,
yes.
60, 70, 80-year-olds, if you don't have that thing, my Aunt Charlotte, it's tennis. You know, she loves tennis. Give her a racket and an opportunity to go out there and play. She's passionate. My husband, it's golf. Me, I love speaking. You know, you have these amazing movements and your capacity to create these incredible workshops and seminars. But for every person, it's different. And there is no good or bad something to be up to. I think it's just important to always continually be expanding that space and what you're up to. Otherwise, you start to deteriorate and detract, right?
Yeah, it is. It's the truth of it. It is the truth of it. And it's, you know, and we're doing it together. You know, we're all pioneering this new conversation together. The conversation that says it's an open road ahead.
Yeah, and it's something that I think one of the things that I loved from one of the classes that I had done years ago in that transformational program that we've both done that you used to lead is the concept of play. I think as human beings, there's so little play around aging, around death, around success. It's more like if you aren't successful, like you said with that one woman, by a certain age, you will die and perish. Or if you don't have the right job or the right plan after your retirement, it's over. But I think that the more that you can insert play and fun and ease and just looking at it from all different sides, the more of a capacity you have to expand in unprecedented ways.
That's so central, you know, that's a good one you just said too. Think about it. We have this idea about play that it's for kids.
Right.
And that we're, you know, as we get older and older, if we start to play, people might think we're losing it.
Yeah, totally.
People might think, that's how the greatest inventions in history have been invented, is scientists, great thinkers, started to play with something to, and they figured something out, and they brought something new into existence through playing with it, bringing curiosity, bringing, I don't know, what do you think if? So bringing that curiosity and, I wonder if I tried Zumba, you know, how would I do? You know, another thing that stops us is, I don't want to look ridiculous, but you know what? I remember my mother, the first day of first grade when I was starting a brand new school, she had to stand outside the door to that classroom for over an hour because I was so scared to go in. Wow. I didn't, you know, I was just afraid of these new kids. I didn't, you know, in my old terms, I would call it, I didn't want to look like a fool or look ridiculous or something. I still have that. You know,
it's part of being.
Why shouldn't I go into a Zumba class with 30-year-olds? And the other thing is quite a stereotype and a myth that it really is intergenerational friends. You know, there's this idea: why would they want to hang out with us old ladies? No, we're fun.
Stop
it! Of course, they like to hang out with us.
I would say over half my friends are probably over the age of 50, and I say that with all the joy in my heart, because it's like anything. We wouldn't discriminate based on race. Why would we discriminate based on age? Some of my favorite people are between 50 and 80 years old, and I adore them. And it has nothing to do with anything.
That's exactly right. And some of my favorite people are 20, 30, and 40.
Yeah.
And 80.
Yeah.
And 90.
But we make up these things, and it's so true, and I see it even in the job hunting world with people of all ages, and they perpetuate this conversation of once you get to a certain age, again, back to that expiration date thing, you're no longer going to be the one that companies want to hire. And I say bullshit. I'm sorry to say that on the air, but I'll say it again, bullshit. Because if you are somebody who's out there and you have great skills and you are somebody who has a great attitude and you're able to contribute and be a team player, anybody is going to want you on their team. And maybe the 2, 3, 5% of companies out there, no matter what age you are going to discriminate based on age or race, but they're a bunch of jerks and you wouldn't want to work with them anyway. So I think that's just something to keep in mind, is there are going to be people out there, but it's such a small, small group of people that are that way versus the majority, I feel like, is more like you and I, where it's about inclusivity rather than exclusivity. I think that's the thing. As human beings, we want to feel included, and that's with aging, perhaps, too, where people begin to feel excluded. Like your friend said, uh-oh, well, what if I get older and my friends or my husband passes away? Where I think if we continually create an opportunity for inclusivity for people of all ages, that myth could be debunked and go away forever, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to say something to your listeners, maybe who are listening in who don't know who you are. You know, you are a top recruiter, so you are an expert who can say what you just said. And I really want people to mark that. What you said about, yes, there are some companies that are going to age discriminate, but that's not the majority. If you have the skills and the excitement and the passion, that's what companies want. I really, really appreciate you saying that, Jennifer.
Yeah, it's something I hear, and I spend a good portion of my weeks talking people off a ledge about it, and it exists again in conversation, in those myths that we're talking about debunking. And I invite anybody out there, the next time that you catch yourself saying that, or sorry, I'm laughing because there's a key word my husband and I use in a different context, where if we're doing or saying something we're not committed to, we use the word armadillo. So you might want to key your friends in on this key word and say armadillo. You know, if you catch your friends having a conversation that disempowers them or is not what they're committed to, and maybe it's about their age, maybe it's about what they're up to, I'm not good enough, I'm not loved, I'm too old, whatever that old cliche story or conversation is, say armadillo. I'm putting it out there. I will share my word that I use with my husband. If you ever meet me in person and one of us says armadillo, you will now know why. I know, it's so silly. I'm so embarrassed I just shared that.
No, it's perfect. No. It's really perfect. Because also, Jen, it brings the play.
Yeah, totally, right? When you say armadillo, you can't help but laugh. And instead of getting justified or defensive about your friend saying, hey, why are you being so hard on yourself? You can have a little giggle about it instead. Steal it. You can totally steal armadillo, Julie. I won't be mad. I promise.
Right. Yeah, that's what we do need to bring to all of this is joy, energy, and play. Because this conversation is kind of like concrete, but it melts being brought with play and curiosity, brought to light by speaking it and going, oh my God, I didn't make that up. I don't own that. It's all downhill from here. Or, you know, it's too late.
Yeah,
you know,
it's something that the minute you bring awareness to it, it disappears and choice becomes available. And I think that's so incredible that that's what you and your co-author are writing about in It's an Open Road, Inventing Your Next 30 Years. You know, that's what's available to you when you stop listening to the myths and the stereotypes and living as though those are your truths and instead create your truths.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Julia, I could talk to you forever. Gosh, we're going to have you on the show once the book is out and talk more about it. And I want to make sure our listeners know about your upcoming workshop. I think we were talking right before the show. It's on November 11th in Los Angeles, right?
November 11th, a one-day workshop. And if you'd like to find out more of that, also, if you're listening from other cities, we're doing our first two-day workshop on September 23rd and 24th in Denver. And we'll be putting out further workshops as well. So I just want everybody to know I would love to hear from people what you're interested in and what your open road looks like. And also, I do still do one-on-one coaching around designing your next 5, 10, 30 years. And I do offer a complimentary discovery session for that. And the way to contact us is I have a Gmail address where you can send. We are new enough, we don't have a website, but the Gmail address is youropenroad@gmail.com, and you can send me a communication right there and let me know that you want to know about further work we're doing.
Yeah, and I'll make sure to make that available on the archive of the show as well as on iTunes, because, Julia, I will give a personal testimony. When you and I did a consult, I think it was beginning of this year or right after, yeah, it must have been beginning of this year after we had wrapped up that most recent course we did together, it was extraordinary. And I know that Julia and I have spent a lot of this 40 minutes or so talking, but I will tell you that in Julia's listening, you will have the most profound breakthroughs and things just break wide open for you that you've been stopped in for years. So that's my personal testimony of how much I adored the work I did with Julia.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about you. And again, Julia Dederer, who is here with us on the show today, Silicon Valley Executive Coach. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always find it on the archive section of the LA Talk Radio website immediately following the show. Or later in the week, the show will be available for download to listen at your leisure on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And we always invite you to please give us feedback, rate us. Any feedback you have is always welcome. And thank you again, Julia, for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, such a pleasure. And you know, I just want you to know we took new ground in this conversation. Every time anyone has this conversation, I mean, don't you feel it that we've taken new ground?
It's extraordinary. I was so excited just to even engage in the inquiry of this conversation before we even got to the show portion with everybody in my life. And I invite everybody to go out there and share this with people, whether your friends are 20-something or 60 or 80-something. This is a conversation worth having, and I'm so happy that you're creating this.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. And invite everybody to tune in next week as we have David Essel on the show talking about the laws of success. So thanks again for tuning in and have a wonderful week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.